And thank you to organizers for giving me this nice opportunity. Today I'd like to talk about the recent progress in the nodal metallic spin as praseodymium iridate. Sorry for the very fancy title, but this material is very special, even in the pyrochlore compounds, because this is a metallic spin ice. So usually the spinliquid candidate materials are insulators, but this is metallic. And also the conduction band is really special. It has a Fermi node at the gamma point. So maybe we can skip this page, but I'd like to remind you that this praseodymium compounds are the good candidates for the quantum spin ice materials because of this smaller magnetic moment than that for classical spin ice systems. And this quantum spin ice is very attractive because of the various exotic excitations like photons, and E particles, and as already discussed by Matsuda Sensei in the previous talk. And another interesting aspect of this material is quadratic band touching, which is recently observed by the ARPES. And this is the cut at different energies, and you see the quadratic shape of the band, and only one state, only the state at the Fermi energy appears only when you cut the crossing the gamma point. This is much clearer when you see the 2D map at the Fermi energy. This is the intensity of the 2D map at the Fermi energy at the gamma point and L point. As you can see, the state appears only at the gamma point. So that's why we can conclude this has a Fermi node at the gamma point. Why is it interesting? Because quadratic band touching is theoretically described by this Luttinger Hamiltonian, which gives rise to the non-Fermi liquid ground state due to the strong interaction. These touching points are not, these touching points are not topologically protected. So if you lift this degeneracy, you would get a number of topological phases, like wild state metals or topological insulators. One of the most interesting behavior properties in this material is spontaneous anomalous Hall effect. This is a temperature dependence of the spontaneous anomalous Hall conductivity and magnetization. There's no long-range order except the partial freezing at 0.4 K, where the magnetic susceptibility shows a bifurcation. And interestingly, the Hall conductivity shows hysteresis even above these temperatures. So this is much obvious when you see the spontaneous component of the anomalous Hall conductivity and magnetization, as shown in the middle panel. In this temperature range, from 0.4 K to 1.7 K, only the spontaneous Hall effect appears without any external magnetic field or spontaneous magnetization. This is a very special state, and we call this state chiral spin liquid. And this anomalous Hall conductivity is actually very anisotropic. And this is anomalous Hall resistivity, the field dependence on anomalous Hall resistivity for different field directions. If you apply the field along 111, you'd expect the crossover from 2-in to out to 3-in, 1-out state. And this is a metamagnetic field. It's around 2.5 tesla. So as you can see, this large spontaneous component disappears when you enter the 3-in, 1-out state, while it survives in this polarized state in the field along 110 or 100. This is very anisotropic, and it's highly related to the spin configuration. Not only Hall conductivity, but also longitudinal magnetic resistance is highly anisotropic and related to the spin configuration. When you enter the 3-in 1-out state, magnetic resistance is highly enhanced, as shown here, although there are no enhancement for the other directions in only all out state. And also interestingly, the Sibenikos-Dohas oscillation is observed only in this 3-in 1-out states. So that means that there must be some Fermi surface reconstruction at around this metamagnetic transition. And another exotic behavior in this material is zero-field quantum criticality, which is detected by the magnetic Grunheisen ratio measurement. A magnetic Grunheisen ratio is defined by this formula, temperature derivative of the magnetization divided by the specific heat. But if you use Maxwell relation, it is identical to the magnetocaloric effect. So you can directly measure magnetic Grunheisen ratio without measuring two different quantities, but just measure just a single measurement of the magnetocaloric effect. And for quantum critical materials, theoretically it is known that this magnetic Grunheisen ratio or the Grunheisen ratio shows a sign change and this the divergent behavior. And also it should show the quantum critical scaling relations. So this is the results for the praseodymium iridate. And the temperature dependence of the magnetic Grunheisen ratio is shown here. And as you can see, it shows a clear divergent behavior down to the partial freezing temperature, 0.4K. And the exponent is T to the minus 3/2. And the characteristic quantum critical scaling is also observed. But here, you don't need any critical field. So usually we need a critical field to scale the quantities. But here, you don't need any field. So that means this is a zero field quantum critical material. So recently, we have succeeded in growing the thin film of praseodymium iridate on the YSG substrate. This is a TEM image of the surface of the thin film and the interface of the thin film. Because the lattice constant of praseodymium iridate is a little bit larger than that for YSG substrate, so there is a lattice mismatch. It's about 1.15%. And so this, this means that there is an in-plane and compressive strain and a tensile strain along the 111 direction, thickness direction. It's around 2.3%. And this is actually a single crystal, because if you can see this XRD result for this thin film, for the Asgrown sample and post-Daniell sample. So as you can see, this post-Daniell sample shows a clear 111 peaks of praseodymium iridate. So which means that this thin film is 111-oriented epitaxial thin film. And the temperature dependence of the resistivities is very similar to that for the bulk materials. But the absolute value here is a little bit larger than that for a single crystal, bulk single crystal. And interestingly, we observed the anomalous hole conductivity. So this is the one example for the anomalous hole resistivity versus magnetic field. Interestingly, this spontaneous anomalous hole resistivity starts developing about 50K, which is quite high temperature. And it's developed down to the down to the 0.9K and shows a maximum. So this temperature of 50K is too high to attribute it to the praseodymium physics. So we think this is related to the iridium conduction electron physics. So, and if you assume quadratic band touching, theoretically, to get a spontaneous Hall effect, we need both magnetic macroscopic timing Russell symmetry breaking and cubic symmetry breaking. So TRS timing Russell symmetry breaking is possibly due to the order of the iridium, and this cubic symmetry should be broken due to this strain along 111. And recently, also, the Tokura group has reported the interesting behavior in this mixed compound, praseodymium neodymium mixed compound. They found non-monotonic behaviors of longitudinal resistivity, magnetic resistance, and Hall conductivities. So they they attribute them to the various wire symmetric phases. So actually, if you measure the specific heat of the office stoichiometric polycrystal sample of this praseodymium iridate, you observe the sharp anomaly in specific heat. So this, so if you then the neutron scattering detects the black peaks of the 100 order. So this means that this the office stoichiometric polycrystal sample shows a 2-in-2-out long range Ising type order. So actually, this is related to the recent theory by Gan Chen, and so this material must be located near the quantum critical point of the quantum spin liquid and this Ising order. So let me summarize my introductory part. So this material is very interesting because of the several special characters. One is a quantum spin liquid, and the other one is this is located to near the quantum critical point of the 2-in-2-out long order. And these are related to the praseodymium local moment physics. The third one is a Latinja liquid. This means a strongly correlated quadratic band touching system. So this must be related to the anomalous behaviors like spontaneous superconductivity and zero-field quantum criticality. But we want to distinguish such origins. So how can we understand? So to get some information, we have performed the magnetocaloric effect measurement of insulating analog praseodymium zirconate. And also, we have performed some off-stoichiometric samples, the Hall effect. So first, I'll mention this Grandi ratio for zirconate material. Actually, interestingly, So first, before talking about the result, I'd like to mention that this is praseodymium compound is sensitive to the disorder because of the non-Grammer's praseodymium characters. So as already mentioned by the Tyrell McQueen at the first day, if you make a good sample, the line width of the NQR becomes sharper. Right? And actually, we found this is we found a correlation between this metamagnetic signal at 2.3 tesla and this sharpness of the line width. So the good sample shows a sharp metamagnetic transition and a sharp NQR signal, line width. And the bad sample does not show any metamagnetic feature and a broad line width. So that means a metamagnetic transition is a good quantity to distinguish the sample quality. So actually, the magnetic Grandi ratio is related to the magnetization. So we have actually measured the two different samples, and one does not show any anomaly around 2 tesla. But the other one, sample number 2, shows a large anomaly around the metamagnetic field. So that means that this sample number 2 should be the good quality. And this is a temperature dependence for the magnetocaloric effect for different samples. But obviously, both samples show the diverging behavior down to 0.4K. And the exponent is t to the minus 3/2, and which is completely the same as the one for praseodymium iridate. And also, the scaling relation also holds in both samples. And this scaling exponent is also same as the one for praseodymium iridate. So that means to understand this diverging magnetic Grandi ratio in praseodymium iridate, these frustrated praseodymium moments are very important. So this plays an important role in this to understand this diverging behavior of magnetic Grandi ratio. So next, we want to move on to this topic. So we have made another new batch of praseodymium iridate. So this batch has a larger lattice constant than the best batch and slightly off-symmetric. But this batch is slightly better than that for polycrystal sample, which is reported in this paper. So the quality is middle of this sample number A and polycrystals. as you can see, the good sample shows a minimum resistivity and shows an increase at low temperatures, but this behavior is highly suppressed in the bad samples. And in polycrystal sample, as I mentioned, large specific heat anomaly due to the long range order is observed. But for good sample, good single crystal, there's no anomaly. So actually, the new sample, sample number B, is located in between. So at the first glance, there's nothing. But if you subtract this nuclear contribution, you'd see the small anomaly around 0.4K. This is probably due to the Ising order. So there must be some long range order still in this sample. And we find a systematic change of the nuclear contribution. So if the 4F moment is completely static, you would expect the 100% nuclear Shottky anomaly. But here, all the samples show the suppression of the some percent. And for the good sample, this is less than half. And for the polycrystal, it's about 0.7. It's 70% of the nuclear contribution. So that means 4F moments are still dynamic in the, and especially this is more dynamic in better sample. This is magnetoresistance data for good single crystal and bad single crystal. As I already mentioned, after the metamagnet transition, the magnetoresistance is highly enhanced. But this enhancement becomes smaller in bad sample. And the absolute value of the magnetoresistance is very small. Also, anomalous hole conductivity is very different from the good sample. The good sample shows a large spontaneous anomalous hole effect in two-in-two-out state, but the bad sample does not show any large spontaneous component, but a small, very small. Maybe you cannot see in this scale, but a very small spontaneous component. And also, the overall feature is very similar to the magnetization behavior. So that means that it must be the conventional anomalous hole effect in this material. By the way, this peak in cold conductivity is understood by the crossover from the spin ice to Kagome ice state. And there's a theory by these people, and they predict this anomaly would disappear in the bad sample. So actually, our observation is consistent with their theory. So if you see the temperature dependence, it's more clear. So this is temperature dependence for the anomalous hole resistivity for good sample, shown by green curves, and bad sample by blue curves. Oops. And actually, the bad sample also shows a hysteresis, but it appears below the freezing temperature. So this origin of the spontaneous hole effect is qualitatively different from that for the good samples. So let me summarize my talk. So we measure the magnetic Grunseither ratio of the praseodymium zirconate, and we find the same scaling relation as that for the praseodymium iridate. So we can say this frustrating praseodymium moments are the origin of the diverging magnetic Grunseither ratio in praseodymium iridate. And the anomalous spontaneous hole conductivity in bulk sample is highly related to the praseodymium local moment. So it disappears in the bad sample with a long range order. Thank you for the attention.
Thank you. Questions? So the X value, the disorder that you're putting in, Do you know what that's doing to the praseodymium valence or the effective valence? Is that, are you generating other moments or other than what you would expect for praseodymium 3 plus? So praseodymium 4 plus would be 4F1. Right?
I see.
So I'm just wondering what X is doing to the magnetism.
I don't know the magnetism for praseodymium 4F1. Does it have any magnetic moment? Or?
It does. It's it would be like cerium.
I see.
I'm just wondering if you knew what was happening to the praseodymium. I guess it's all black, right? Because it's metallic, so you're not going to tell by looking at the color.
I don't know the effect of this. But we just know the EDX
right.
Result.
Yeah, right. Okay, thank you.
I have a question. So just to clarify that I understand what you're saying. So when you look at the older sample, the twin 12, it's the, what we call Velko-Gingras state.
It's twin 12.
So there, do you see? I mean, there, do you see a anomalous Bohr effect or not? I mean, there was a plot, right?
So if you have this long range order, we don't we observe the spontaneous Bohr effect, but this is related to the ordering. I mean, it's a conventional spontaneous Bohr.
So when you measure the magnetization, and the Bohr conductivity.
Yes.
Then they scale linearly, that's what you're saying?
Almost linearly, almost linear, yes.
Right.
So here it shows the long range order perhaps. Right. And the magnetization also shows the hysteresis bifurcation here.
Is that sample more metallic or less metallic than the stoichiometry?
Yeah, that's a good question.
It's probably more metallic.
Actually, absolute value is a little large. If you see at room temperature, it's not metallic. But if you compare at the low temperatures, there is some difference. Because in bad sample, the increase of the resistivity at low temperature is much smaller. So in good samples, there is a minimum in resistivity. But this change at low temperature becomes enhanced in good sample.
You know, I just want to point out this. When you have a quadratic band touching semiconductor, then when you either you apply a magnetic field or you have some finite magnetization that's coupled to the quadratic band touching, the whole conductivity scales like square root of the magnetization, square root of H magnetic field rather than linear. So for example, you keep saying that, you have a finite Bohr conductivity with a zero magnetization, but you have a you cannot measure magnetization below 10⁻³ Bohr magneton. So imagine that your magnetization 10⁻⁴ Bohr magneton. Then in the usual case, the Bohr conductivity will be very small, but in this case, like square root of the magnetization, basically you are changing this Bohr conductivity by two orders of magnitude, right? Because 10⁻⁴, square root of that is 10⁻². So suddenly, you may not see a magnetization, but you may see an anomalous Bohr conductivity if anomalous Bohr conductivity scales as square root of the magnetization, right? So I suspect that that's actually what's going on in this prismatic relay, that either magnetization can be generated by prismatic moment, some very small magnetic ordering from the Newton conduction electron. But you can have a situation where magnetization is tiny, tiny, unmeasurably small, but you can still measure finite Bohr conductivity. So what can happen in a bad sample is that you actually create some kind of pocket, electron hole-like pocket. If the size of the pocket is big, then it's more like a conventional metal. And then you can have for conductivity that's proportional, directly proportional to magnetization. That will be more conventional behavior.
Okay, thank you.
Question? No questions? Comments? Anyone want to speak? Okay, so I'm going to sing the speaker once again.